Bottom Line.
Hey everybody, welcome to Bottom Line. I want to talk to you today about overcoming obstacle. I would venture to say there's nobody watching this show that is immune to the need of having to overcome obstacle. And that is trial and challenge in every area of your life. But I think we're, as a culture and a society, we're not doing well with understanding how to truly overcome trial and obstacles. We're looking at a generation or two that lives by emotion, lives by feeling, that has this thought that their feelings and emotions control them, are in charge. We've had previous generations that just flat out wouldn't talk about feelings and emotions. And then we've got a large sector probably who would self-identify as Christians who don't understand the power in the gospel and the word of God to overcome trial and obstacle. So in general, I think to move forward as an individual, it's how do I become better at controlling my emotions? How do I become better at identifying my own flaws, my own mistakes? How do I, you know, allow myself to be refined by God in that? And how do I just flat out overcome challenge and trial? That's part of life. God says you're in the world, not of it. He doesn't say we won't experience the world. He doesn't say if you're saved and a believer that you're immune to the world. You are. It affects you. The whole sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will, you know, never hurt me nonsense. It's just not true. People are affected by different things and different personalities at different times. And so we have trial and challenge. Sometimes the challenge is more intense than others, particularly when we talk about the fight against human trafficking. The amount of work that has to be done to help a survivor heal cannot be overstated. I don't, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, Jack in saying you can handle the truth. Sometimes that truth, that person's life is so heavy that they're convinced themselves that no one would understand and no one would have an answer and that there's no way out. And you may be facing that. You've had your own trial and challenge in your life, but I will tell you, for survivors of human trafficking, the most difficult work is the work of restoration. The most difficult work is taking a human being who in soul and spiritual level is so broken to first convince them to identify that, hey, this is not normal, to then ask for help, to then be willing to receive help, to then learn that this wasn't my fault, this is not how it has to be, that's not love, this is love, what is unconditional love? It's a process that is lengthy, doesn't have to be if we get better at this, and we train young minds how to overcome obstacle better. And so, yes, we can talk about mental toughness. And we can say, well, be mentally strong, be mentally tough. And we can talk about fortitude and, you know, dust yourself off and move on. And these things sound great, but a lot of it sticks. We have found in study that every human being before their seventh birthday form root lies, at least one. And a root lie is a concept or a principle that's introduced, what I would say, by an evil dark force, a demonic force, by Satan. And you partner with that lie young, subconsciously. It's not a conscious decision of, yes, I want to partner with this lie, but it's a lie such as, let's say, I'll never be good enough. Or my parents like my sister more than me. Or I'm not a good friend. Or whatever I try, I fail at. Or a root lie, the whole world revolves around me. A root lie that I can't learn from anybody. Or no one can teach me anything. It's a core root lie. In every decision in life, that lie becomes pivotal, becomes central to. We start forming relationships around it. And to the point where relationships fall apart at 16, 18, 25, a marriage falls apart for somebody and they don't know why. They can legitimately not tell you why. It's cyclical. It's the same kind of relationships. Girl dates a guy, the guy leaves, she dates another guy. It's exactly the same. We are attracting things. We are self-prophesying, attracting things onto us. A lot of these things are baked in to the subconscious in soul ties, in root lies. And if we are getting better at identifying the root lie earlier, seeing that root lie healed, truly affects everything else. For me, a root lie was that men will abandon me. My father left. So the root lie in that decision as a six-year-old on the lawn of my grandparents' home, when my father said, I'm leaving, I formed a root lie. So although I was seeking and I sought out affirmation from coaches, I still had a belief system that they will abandon me. And it creates this dichotomy in the individual. It's this push-pull. It's this, you know, positive-negative attract and push away kind of a relationship where you don't really allow people to get close, but you need them. And so you shape your life around these root lies. And most often, if someone is really struggling to overcome an obstacle, particularly if it's a repetitive obstacle, so maybe it's someone that doesn't deal with criticism well, or doesn't deal with rejection well, or can only function if there's a high volume of affirmation or a support system, or does not do well if they're not, you know, on a team. Whatever that is, I mean, identify that in your life. Typically, not always, but typically, it's bonded to a root lie that's coming from very young, before your seventh birthday. And it's a belief system that's baked in. And it doesn't just have to be one root lie. There could be several, but at least one. And the enemy plays off of it. He introduces the root lie. And when you partner with it, it feeds it. So it's a boy that believes that, you know, he won't measure up. And later in life, there may be rejection, because that's life. The truth is, you're going to face rejection. But then that rejection compounds the root lie. It's a reinforcement. So it's a loop, right? And that just, yep, see, here we go again. See, here we go again. And then at some point, the hope gets deferred. And hope deferred makes the heart sick, says Scripture. And when that happens, the person accepts it. And it's like, well, this is just, you've heard people, I can't stand it when people say, well, this is just my luck. No, you're prophesying it. You're literally prophesying it. You're attracting it. It's almost like you want it to happen because you've got something to gripe about, versus get set free from that thing. And look, to just be straight up to the jugular real with you, that is the race conversation in this country. What would people do if they couldn't complain about race? You're going to have some time on your hands, and you maybe have to kind of reconcile and forgive and move on and live life. And that doesn't mean there is or is not racism. That doesn't mean there is or is not challenge or trial or hunger, right? You move through it and you conquer. And all of a sudden, that which crippled you no longer cripples you. And then in a while, that which used to cripple you no longer makes you stumble. And then in a while, that which crippled you no longer affects you. That's actually how you get toxic relationships out of your life. You have them. Just right now, think of that one person that if that person calls you right this second, they have the ability to flip your world upside down in a negative way. Just with a phone call, your heart starts pounding. You don't behave like yourself. You get aggressive. You get angry. They have power over you. Now, most often, we give them the power. Because people only have the power we forfeit. Satan only has the power in your life that you hand to him. We call them footholds. They can't take from you what you don't give. And so I'm repeatedly going to come back to our accountability in our lives. What are we accountable for? How do we forfeit our right, the power that God's put inside you, the access to His Word, the access to truth, to help? Or do we get trapped in the cycle of, it's just the way it is, and I'm going to struggle with this, and I'm going to, and I'm going to learn how to struggle with this. And you know what? I'm going to get really good at learning how to struggle with this. And then I'm going to go further. I'm not just going to get good at how to struggle with this. I'm going to tell other people that you can learn how to struggle with this. It's okay. It's just part of life. And I live by, no. Cut the head off the snake. Get rid of the foothold. Get rid of the baggage. Drop the weight. Get rid of the vices. Break the soul ties. Heal the root lies. Why would you want to carry that stuff into tomorrow? Because many people grow comfort in it. They need it. You've seen the people that seem to be able to only focus if there's chaos in their lives. And if there's not drama, they'll make drama. Because they feel insecure without drama. Because it gives them a level of security if they could control just a little bit of the drama, control something. And then we come full circle and go, oh, it's actually all about who's in charge. It's actually all about who's in control. And this fear of letting go and letting God be in control. Not easy to do. Very challenging. But liberating. So an exercise normally that I go through is a larger exercise that maybe we'll go through at some point in a show here, which I really want to do with you, of identifying relationships and what power does certain relationships have in your life, and who do you give power to, and who are really the voices that moves you, and how does one really influence you? Because the enemy knows and sees how to influence you. And this is what happens with children, with trafficking. We always say it's the exploitation of vulnerability. Well, you know what is a gigantic vulnerability? A root lie. A root lie that you believe is a gigantic vulnerability. And those who are looking to exploit, not just sexually, but manipulate you through friendship, and for finance, or for money, and for access, and you know, what they can get from you, they're exploiting a vulnerability of yours. So right now, if you've got a relationship in your life where you feel like, man, I feel like this friendship just takes, or no matter what I do, I just, there's rub in that relationship, that individual is potentially exploiting a vulnerability in you for their gain, for their access. So inventory, taking stock of where you're at, is super important. Understanding your own vulnerabilities, what are they? Do you know? I mean, when last did you really do a check and say, okay, so where am I vulnerable? Start with looking at what repeats in your life. For me, I had to learn that, listen, if I don't eat and I pair that with getting tired, I'm going to be vulnerable, because I'm going to react. I'm going to overreact. I'm going to respond differently to situations. So I know, okay, if I know that I haven't eaten, right, I probably should not have really intense conversations. I should probably pause, you know, settle the blood sugar, and then go again. I need to start managing my life better. Can't blame anybody for this. Well, that person had that conversation with me at the wrong time of day, and you crossed me at the wrong time, sucker. Not on them. Exploiters will exploit. Abusers will abuse. Hurt people. They're looking for footholds. Because it's demonic. That's how Satan operates. God operates in the opposite. When God sees a foothold, covers it. When God sees a vulnerability, covers it. When God sees a weakness, covers it, speaks into it. He wants to heal it. covers it, not just to cover it, not a cover up, covers it to heal it, to set it free, to liberate it, so it is no more. This is what he means when he says, hey, pick up your tent, walk, sin no more. I'm going to cover your weakness. You couldn't walk, now you can walk, but now don't go sin. I'm going to cover your nakedness, but sin no more. I'm not covering it up. Right? So it's this continual question of how do we face trial? Because when trial comes, you will not conquer. You'll avert. You'll go around the mountain when you were supposed to go over it or through it, or you're supposed to flatten the mountain and you'll avoid it. You'll avoid certain conversations in your life. You'll avoid, you know, a lot of people that go, I just can't stand conflict. Well, hold on one second. Let's define conflict. It's only conflict if you're fighting. If you're debating and deliberating in order to reach an outcome that is positive, that is uplifting, not just for yourself, but for the whole situation, then you're not fighting. You could have unbelievable civil discourse and disagreement without degrading. But we've lost that art. It's on an airplane. On so many airplanes. Sometime this week I was on an airplane. And right as we board, I sit down and one guy in the middle behind me goes at the other guy with profanity and starts dropping F-bombs. And I go, dude, number one, I want to get home. So if you guys are going to pull him off the flight, pull him now. Because if this crap goes on the airplane, we may have to do something. So he's started, now I'm listening to this conversation, and the guy to his left did nothing. He just had his feet, and this guy's attacking him because he doesn't like how the guy has his feet. Stupid stuff. It's an insecurity in the guy. It's a trigger in the guy, and he's projecting it on someone else and potentially causing all kinds of havoc and drama. That's an individual that can't function without drama. If you're that individual, we've got to address the root line, overcome obstacle. Okay, that being said, let's talk real quick about somebody I'd like to thank. I want to thank Patriot Mobile. Thank you, Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone provider in the United States that actually shows up in the tough subjects. The border, pro-life, the fight against human trafficking. Thank you to Patriot Mobile for standing with us. I am on Patriot Mobile. That's my cell phone provider. I've got fantastic service in places I didn't have service before when I was on Verizon. If you didn't know, Patriot uses all the major cell phone towers. You're going to have great service wherever you are. The customer service is phenomenal. Please check out patriotmobile.com. Mention the bottom line or just bottom line. Tell them Yaku sent you. You're going to be taken care of. You'll get free activation. And they may just buy you out of your existing contract. Please ask them about that. So please check out patriotmobile.com. Phenomenal work by the guys and gals at Patriot Mobile. All right. Overcoming obstacle is essential. And it's not momentary. It's not bypassing today's trial to face the same trial again next week and next week and next month and next year. And 4 years later, you've got the same battle in your life. When I say overcome obstacle, I mean conquer it in a way like you conquer a level in a game where I now know how to defeat that level. If that makes sense. For you non-gamers out there, I'm a non-gamer, but you know, I climbed a mountain and I know the path. Solve the problem, a word puzzle, and I know where the pieces fit. You're conquering obstacle at that point, not just making it through obstacle, right? So many scriptures to quote here. So many. We can go Psalm 23. We can talk about walking. Just process this with me for a minute. I love how visceral and literal the Word of God is. It is, I've always said, it's X-rated. You can't make the Bible in a movie in practical sense. There's war and there's blood and there's famine and there's disaster and it's epic, epic. And then there is, you will walk through a valley, low point, okay? Power is in the high ground, valley, low point. You're walking at the bedrock, riverbed of the Grand Canyon. You're exposed. You're vulnerable. The elements, there's elevation. You walk through a valley of shadow, meaning you can't see. It's dark. Okay? You walk through a valley of shadow and death. Death has a smell. It's scary. If you walk through a valley of shadow and death, it means you see death. You see carcass. You see skeleton. You see carnage. You experience it. You smell it. Your senses. It's dark. You see, but you don't see. You see what you can in the midst of the darkness of the situation. But I look up to the hills where my help comes from. I don't get stuck in the shadow and the death. And God's promise is, I will carry you through that. If you look unto him, if you stay gazed on the provider, the source of your strength, your hope, and you will conquer that valley. You're learning how to navigate through the valley. Not just I made it through, but I conquered it. Because when it comes again, I'm entering the valley with a different posture, a different confidence. Why? Because I've been here before. So if you find yourself that you have fought the same obstacles, trials, and battles in your life, and here we go again, and it's the same old, you're not learning. You're not conquering. You're not overcoming. A friend of many in the music business passed away last week. And many of us had crossed paths with Mandisa. And Mandisa had a song, "You're an Overcomer." I think, people can check me on this, but I think it's her biggest hit. And being an overcomer is overcoming obstacle. Not just making it through it. Not just, whew, man, I'm glad that's over. No, I want you to be an individual that when you've overcome challenge and obstacle, you go, I'm glad I went through that. Because now I know. Now I'm trained. And now you can, with anticipation, look at the next obstacle and say, when that one comes, I'm going to approach it differently. I'm going to approach it with a different posture, a different language, a different attitude, different eyesight. Hey, the last obstacle, I was in the valley of shadow and death, and I looked down and I saw shadows and death 3/4 of the way, and then I looked up at the hills. This time I'm going to start looking up. Hey, last time I walked with trepidation and fear, and I kind of almost became stagnant and didn't move. This time I'm running. It's practical. But you have to approach the trial that you're in today with a different posture and a different attitude. And I'm telling you, you can search, but you're not going to find a way to do it that's going to give you tangible solutions like the Word of God will. So I want to read a couple things to you. And I don't know, Rebecca, if you can pull this up on screen. Because the world will talk to you about overcoming obstacles. And if you Google it, heck, you will find cocaine as a solution. You'll find self-medication. You'll find stuff that you, man, it sounds cool. Sounds like a quick fix. Here's the truth about overcoming obstacles. There is no quick fix. Though you travel through the valley of shadow and death, not partially through, though you get med-flighted, helicoptered out of it, when someone rescues you from it and you didn't have to do it, it doesn't exist, man. So we look at some scripture I want to read to you. Isaiah 41:13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Point number one, the trial you're in, you're not alone. Stand right there. You're not alone. Yes, I am, Yaku. I'm alone. Nobody in my family is with me. You think that way, you know what's going to happen? As a man thinks, so is he, says Scripture. You're going to be alone. Becca's pulling it up for us. If we go to Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. What did I say to you earlier? I know if I'm tired and I didn't eat, I am vulnerable. Where are you vulnerable? And we can call them triggers. What triggers you? You need to know. You need to be able to write them down. And then you need to pray into those and fortify and know, hey, I'm going to manage this better. I'm not alone. I'll make it through the valley. 2 Timothy 2:23, 24. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid. Yes, this is in the Word of God. With foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. What I tell you earlier, an argument, everybody loses. You don't learn in an argument, but you can have discourse. You can debate. Verse 24 goes on and said, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone and able to teach and not be resentful. James 1:19-21 says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. You make mistakes when you operate in anger. I'm going to read you one more. One more. I think this one's powerful. This is Luke 10, verse 41-42. In the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, right? This is Luke 10. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. I'm going to pause before I finish. Worry will fix nothing. Zero. You are burning oxygen and burning energy that can produce not a single result for you. Worry will not fix a single thing. The permutations of the what ifs and what and then whats will not solve a single problem in your life. Verse 42, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from it. When you choose God, when you choose the ways of God, when you choose to surrender your fear and your hurts and your doubts and your obstacles, you actually become clear-minded. You become humble. You know very quickly that I can't do this on my own. I don't want to be alone. You learn that Scripture tells you you're not alone, and you can overcome obstacles. Now, here's the really cool thing about overcoming obstacles. When you truly overcome an, when you've overcome an obstacle, you need to mark it. You need to form a core memory through it. Replay it in your mind. What exactly did I learn? What did God say in that moment? Because it's going to come again. And next time, it's like an athlete. Next time I go around the track, I'm going to be 0.2 of a second faster. Why? Because I learned something. The jumps doesn't have to be gigantic. They can be incremental. I would argue it's normal for them to be incremental. We grow in increments. But don't defer the growth because you don't think that the growth is gigantic on day one. The very thing you struggle with the most, the obstacle in your life right now that has crippled you repeatedly, and it's normally a relationship. Working with people is difficult. It doesn't have to be, but we make it difficult as people. We make it very challenging and troublesome. And again, back to human trafficking, because there's trust and distrust and hurt and shame and guilt and condemnation and insecurities and emotional hurt. Go look at a previous podcast when we talked about, you know, what happens, you know, in the church when we hang on to an emotional hurt and we form a quorum and we partner with sin and all of a sudden we teach a false gospel. Go watch that podcast. I'm telling you that we are not approaching obstacle and trial well in this country. We're medicating. We're medicating through social media or influence, or let me just go ask another opinion and another opinion and another opinion until I find an opinion that makes me feel good. And then, okay, whew, made it through. You survived the day. You're stuck in the valley. You've not overcome a single obstacle. Heck, the obstacle's still in front of you. You haven't even circumvented it. You just kicked it. You kicked the can down the road. You just moved the obstacle. Just move it. Move it. And unfortunately, we do that in our relationships, and then people get hurt, and people get, and then it's this vicious cycle of hurt people hurting people. So I think if we take a proactive approach and saying, okay, yeah, what are my repeated challenges? Start there. What repeats in my life? And it probably, for most of you, is going to fall in line with things like purpose, how you see yourself as a person, the will or lack of will to live, not having vision. A people without vision will perish. Not a people without vision will have a tough time. A people without vision will struggle, perish. Cease to have importance, cease to have impact, cease to exist. And you cannot be that. And if you find yourself in that place where you're a hamster on a wheel and it's tomorrow and it's another day, but I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't know, what is this all about? Where are we going? That's probably a third of the church. It's not just the non-believers. What is this all for? You know, same old, same old. If you find yourself in that place, and you're not finding yourself in a place where you wake up in the morning and go, I'm on an adventure. When? Permanently. I'm on a permanent adventure called life. I'm on a permanent journey to pick up bits and pieces, tools for my tool belt, because I'm going a place and I need tools. I don't have all the tools. I don't have all the answers, but I'm on a permanent journey, an adventure with God. That is the greatest experience. There's not a Six Flags or a roller coaster or a theme park that gives me more thrill than life, because I have no idea what tomorrow holds, and it's exhilarating to me. And on days like today, there's challenge. It holds challenge. And if you find yourself that you cannot celebrate in the challenge and say, praise God, there's a challenge, because dang it, it's not easy, but I'm learning something and I'm going to be better. Because when the next one comes, I'm going to have experience. Because I'm awake enough in the moment, in the trial, to know this too shall pass, says Scripture. So I don't have to make this my future. I don't have to call it into existence and go, well, that's life, and you become Eeyore. I can't stand that character. Oh my gosh, praise God I didn't grow up with Eeyore in my life as a character. This diabolical. That's not come on. Check yourself. If you're an Eeyore, snap out of it. Face the challenge. Be real with yourself. Say, I'm an Eeyore. I am an Eeyore. And you know what? It's not adventure. And I don't know this life you're talking about of adventure. It's got nothing to do with money. It's mind, soul, spirit. It's an attitude, an approach to life. What I really want to tell you is Start walking through barriers. Start walking through obstacles. Start finding proactively the obstacles in your life and stop avoiding them. Start hunting them. Intentionally go look for them. Go have the tough conversation with the person you've been avoiding. On purpose. Go do it in a godly way. Yeah, you may get a bloody mouth. Your feelings hurt. Your emotions twisted like a pretzel. Maybe. But do it. Why? Because you'll learn. You're going to be better for it. Toughen up, not getting hardened. Toughen up a little bit in this culture of America and face the obstacle. Turn into the wind. Put your shoulders forward and start applying force, movement, momentum. You may just surprise yourself. You may become an overcomer. You may just wake up and go, oh, you know what? Actually not that hard to disagree with culture. It's actually not hard to disagree with my friends. And then you realize, you know what? I don't think my life will end or fall apart if they're not my friends. And then you realize, wait a second, they were never my friends. They were leeches sucking life out of me, looking at their own insecurities, seeing what they can gain from me, in a self-perpetuated motion of managing dysfunction. I'm not talking about canceling people. I'm talking about not giving them access to your emotions and your psyche, your psychiatric health, your emotional health, and absolutely not your spiritual health. But you've got to turn in. You've got to lean in. You've got to turn in. Can you see if you can find a picture? This is an image of a guy pushing a rock. Just get me a picture of a guy pushing a giant boulder. It's animated. I want to tell a story about this thing. If you can, Rebecca. While Rebecca's doing that, I want to talk to you about Storyville Coffee. You want to talk about a company leaning in, a company pointing their true north into the wind because they know they're never alone. They know that God is with them. God's hand is on them. They're overcoming obstacle, and they have a culture of loving people. I'm talking about Storyville Coffee. 100%. There's none like them. Nobody like them in this country or on earth. Number one roaster in the United States. Talk about leaning in. They're leaning into the city of Seattle. They're leaning in across this country. Check out Storyville Coffee. When you drink Storyville Coffee, every single cup of Storyville Coffee you drink, you help us rescue a child from human trafficking. You directly impact the lives of children when you drink this coffee. Go to Storyville.com. No promo code, no special mention. Just order coffee to be shipped and delivered to your home. The excellence that you will experience, the customer service, the attention to detail, the flavor profile of their coffee. We're not talking about coffee that's burnt to smithereens like Starbucks so everything can be neutral and every cup tastes the same. We're talking about a flavor profile, an experience in coffee that the Storyville team have become masters at over the last 16 years and dedicated by their founders, the company, to rescuing children out of human trafficking. They're on a search and rescue mission. And they partner with us. We're so humbled by the Storyville team, and we say thank you, Storyville Coffee. Go check it out, Storyville.com. Order your coffee from Storyville. You will not regret it. And you'll feel, for the feelers, you'll feel fantastic knowing that you are personally, directly impacting the lives of children in the fight against human trafficking. Preventing it, seeing them rescued, restored, liberated, set free. We're on a search and rescue mission. Will you join us by joining Storyville Coffee? Now, let's jump into this. Let's take that one. Okay. Not necessarily that I wanted a bodybuilder pushing a rock up a hill. Maybe there's another one. Go back one more, Becca. Let's just visit with our people. Scroll down. Is there some animated one? Yeah.
See that dude? Yeah, bring that guy. That's the guy I'm talking about. Bring that visual up for me. Where did he go? There he is. Can you blow him up? There he is. Okay, let's call him Steven. Look at Steven. He's got smoke coming out of his head. When last did you feel that way? Look at the screen. That may be you today. That may be your battle with your faith. That may be your battle in your marriage. I'm pushing this rock and it's not moving. It's not moving. I you don't understand, Yaku. I hear you, but I've gone there before. I pointed into the wind. I was leaning into it. I had faith. I pushed that rock. I have been Stephen. Rock's not moving, man. I'm pushing. Today, I'm pushing. Your weight, your self-esteem, suicide ideation, purpose of life, your addiction. I've pushed against this rock called pornography, Yaku. I've pushed against it. It doesn't move. I've pushed against this thing called disunity with my family. It doesn't move. Most people go, I've been there, I pushed it, I'm not pushing again. And I'm telling you today, put your hands back on the rock and push. Well, Yaku, if the rock's not going to move, number one, if you push in your own strength, the rock won't move. If you push with God, he'll level mountains. But what if I tell you that Stephen pushing that rock, because my grandfather did this with me. I learned this the hard way, not through an animated character. I had a grandfather that was a fire chief who broke his back jumping out of a sugar factory. In those days, they still held a mat, and you're jumping out of a sugar factory to save a child and missed the mat, right, and broke his back. I watched that guy stand up from that and come back and say, we're going to go again. We're going to go again. He made me do this exercise. What if I told you that Stephen pushing the rock, if we're on the white screen, Dan, and the rock is your trial and your challenge, your obstacle. What if I told you it's not about the rock? What if I change your lens? Don't see, see. Don't see, see. The Lord says, may the scales be removed from their eyes. May they see through the Spirit. What if it's not about the rock? What if it's not about the challenge you face today? What if it's about you pushing against the rock? Because you know what happens to Stephen when he pushes that rock? Every day, he builds muscle. His hands get calluses. He changes his posture. He learns how to lean in. He's pushing and pushing and pushing, and he goes through frustration and anger, and then that subsides. And then it's push again, and it's emotion. But he's building muscle. He's building muscle. What if your challenge you're facing today is there for you to build muscle for a challenge you're about to face tomorrow or next week or next month? What if you approached obstacle and trial in that way, saying, where's the rock? Why? Because I want to push it. I want to push against it. Why? I'm going to be stronger. I'm telling you, you push with God, the rock will move. Maybe not at first. But do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. And if you're not a reader of the Word of God, the Bible, or a believer, you're just simply missing out. And you may say, well, I've been to that rock. I've pushed against that rock. And you don't understand. I pushed against that rock and I got hurt by a pastor. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you got hurt by a pastor. I'm sorry that the actions of a human being misrepresented the heart of a father. Because his heart is not for you to be hurt. His heart is not for you to push on a rock and the rock not move. But he will put you in training. He will absolutely put you in a place where you're pushing against an obstacle to build muscle, to build faith, to build fortitude, to build experience. And you know what else? To build testimony.
When you walk out tomorrow and you push against your house for 20 minutes, somebody is going to ask you, what are you doing? And when you keep pushing against obstacles, you're building a testimony. You start inspiring other people. And then when an obstacle moves, they'll say, he's not afraid to push rocks. So I want to close with that and let you know that you can make it through that valley. If your eyes are raised up to the hills where your help comes from, not the hills, the Lord. Let's close with this. Will you throw Psalm 23 on the screen, please? Sometimes hearing the word is good, but you got to see it. You know, Paul says he consumes the word, eats it. You know, I'm not saying you should go eat paper. I'm saying consume it and eat it. Let's look. Let's lean into this. Is this New King James? Yes, Rebecca knows me. The Lord, the shepherd of his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All of this talks about what happens if I'm in trial. He comforts. Hey, dude, I feel like I'm in a desert, but the Lord sustains me. He's the water. He leads me in paths of righteousness, meaning righteousness is what, Yaku, exactly? Doing the godly thing, doing the right thing, being in right standing with God. For his name's sake, not our own. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Told you, you're not alone. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hello, did I not just tell you, when you push against the rock, you're building testimony in the presence of your enemies. No greater insult to your enemies, spiritual, physical, whatever, than when you say, I see you, I'm going to keep leaning in. Right? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, what does that mean? Go sleep in church? You are a temple for God to rest in. And when you submit yourself and dwell in him, he dwells in you. I will be in the presence of God for the rest of my life. I will dwell in his word and his way. And when I think I'm in a valley, my head goes up, my strength comes from him, and I'm leaning into the rock, and I'm pushing, and I'm learning, because my cup will run over. He's got me. I'll be seated at a table with him in front of my enemies. Other scripture says he'll make my enemies my footstool. Okay, I don't know where you are in your life today, but I do know that you face challenge and trial. And no, there's no magic pill. You have to take a step. It is impossible to please God without faith. Cannot. Cannot be a doubter. Cannot be an Eeyore going through life. And please God. Not judging you, just saying, time's up. Moment has arrived. This is your moment for change. It's impossible to please God without faith, but faith without work is dead. Your faith means nothing if you won't lean into the rock. Your faith means nothing if you won't point and say, but with God, let's go take Goliath. But with God, let's go lead a nation through a sea. But with God, let me lean into my relationship with my wife. But with God, let me lean into my relationship with my estranged father, brother, son. But with God, let me have this tough conversation with my friend that hurt me. Not avoid it. Lean into it. Face the challenge. Take it on in a godly way and watch. Watch the witness and the testimony, the table that's prepared for you, and the goodness of God following you all the days of your life. Are we insane to think that we could do it any other way? Or would want to do it any other way? So, push the rock. Sometimes it's not about the rock. It's about building muscle for the rocks to come. God bless you. Appreciate you. Stand with us in the fight against human trafficking, understanding that survivors of human trafficking have many, many, many rocks to push. Much trial to overcome. I always remind people there's someone else with a deeper challenge than I have, than you have. There's someone else with less food, less water. There's someone with more pain. If we do not make it about us, but about how God is preparing us, you know, the coolest thing that starts happening is God starts telling you, hey, will you go and lean into that rock with your friend? Will you go push that rock with your brother? And when you start pushing a rock and you're lonely and it's just you, and all of a sudden another pair of hands show up that you didn't ask for, and another pair of hands show up. Look what that does to you. And you know what's even cooler? When you're the other pair of hands, because it's so much better to give than to receive. And you will not be sent by God to go push against someone else's rock with them if you didn't build muscle on your rock. You're not strong enough. We are to be additive. We're not to take away from people. God's not going to send you to lean in, to intercede, if he knows that you've not lent in on your own alone with him. So let's start leaning in. God bless you. Thank you.